Kendra, who just proved herself by turning on the recording. I appreciate that. And now that we're being recorded, I'd ask you to take roll, please.
Judge Conklin?
Present.
Mrs. Fleming? Judge Bradshaw?
Present.
Judge Bowen?
Present.
Judge Clark informed us that she'd be absent today. Judge Emedy informed us that she'd be absent today. Judge Jessner? Barrett? Mark? Absent. Judge Kamakarian?
Present.
Judge Kelly?
Here, thank you.
Judge Rogan?
Here.
Judge Sanhu?
Present, and I do have to apologize. I do have to leave at 12:30 today, so I'll be here till 12:30.
Thank you. Ms. Beaker?
Here.
Thank you. Ms. Cameron informed us she'd be absent today. Mr. Chatters?
I am here.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Landry? Hearing Mr. Landry, I'll mark him absent. Mr. Roddy informed us he'd be absent today. Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Slayton?
Here.
Ms. Turner?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, good afternoon, President.
Thank you. Advisory member, Mr. Theodorovich?
I am here.
Thank you. And liaison member, Judge Owani.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, I was struggling. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Like we clearly have a majority present. Maria, thank you very much for taking that role. So we're going to move through a few administrative issues. The first is approval of the minutes of the August 25th meeting. They're on page 3 of your materials. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
I'll move to approve the minutes.
And a second?
Turner seconds.
Both Davids moved and seconded. I will, as the chair, hearing no opposition and no abstentions, I'll deem the minutes unanimously approved. Ms. Lehrer, I just want to check with you and make sure we have no public comment waiting for today.
That is correct, Judge Conklin.
Great. So we're all aware that public comment is now a part of these meetings. It's very welcomed, but apparently nobody took advantage of that today. So we have no public comment today. We've got four discussion items. Before I move to those, we're sort of at a transition point. And this is for me, I just have to be careful here because many of these members have joined us for subcommittee meetings already, but I think this is their first actual tickback meeting. Judge Bowen, Ms. Beaker, and Jake, Mr. Chatters are all with us. You're familiar to us. You're so welcome. And we're glad you are joining us either for the first time or once again. As always, we've got important work to do and we're glad you're along for the ride. So welcome all very much. Also, as I should say and acknowledge once again for everybody that remains on this ride, so appreciate having you all here. We've got another interesting year, as always, coming up, and it's so glad to see this team is ready for what the challenges ahead. And we'll begin those challenges with our action items today. I hesitate to describe them as routine because nothing, I don't mean by saying routine, they're not important. But I think these are items that particularly those of you that have been dealing with budget issues statewide for a while will be familiar with. By no means do I imply that we should not have full discussion, but these are fully prepared and ready to go. So I look forward to this discussion. The first action item today is the increased transcript rate. It's at page 5 of your materials. This is considered allocation for $7 million to cover the increased costs associated with higher transcript rates. We all recognize how important these transcripts are to us, how valued the court reporters are, and these transcript payments are to them. And this is a standard allocation we consider each fall. I'll turn it over to Mr. and it's Comia, right? Am I pronouncing that the right way? Is he with us?
Oh, yes, Marshall? Correct. Sorry, are you able to hear me?
Now yes. We can, yep.
Great.
Great. I'll turn it over for your presentation. Thank you.
All right, thank you, and good afternoon, Chair and members. As Judge Conklin said, I'm Marshall with Judicial Council Policy and Research, here to present the first item, fiscal year 2025-26 increased transcript rate allocation. So for your approval is the allocation of the $7 million to each trial court proportionally using the Judicial Council approved methodology. And so this $7 million ongoing general fund was appropriated to cover the increased costs associated with the increased transcript rates enacted by the passage of AB 177, which was a public safety trailer bill in 2021. The allocation methodology includes averaging actual transcript expenditures by court for the last three fiscal years, applying that proportional allocation of the $7 million appropriation to each court based on the three-year average of transcript expenditures, and then allocating funds in one lump sum on approval by the Judicial Council. The full details of the methodology and funding are available in the report and its attachment. Since the funding outlined in this report can only be used for the additional costs that courts incur from increased transcript rates, any unspent funds are required to revert to the state general fund each fiscal year. A true-up process will occur at the end of the fiscal year to pull back any remaining funds for reversion to the state general fund. This process is based on historical baseline amounts and actual expenditures for the current fiscal year and is described in detail in the report. And so with all that being said, available for any questions about this item.
Marshall, thanks so much. And the recommendation as noted is at page 6, and that's to approve the allocation of the $7 million proportionally. And it's now open for discussion. Any questions for Marshall or concerns? Kim, your hands up. Go ahead.
Just curious, is there a mid-year reallocation process as there is with some of these other funds that have to revert back to the state general fund? Do we take a look as we get, toward the end of the year as to whether or not there are courts that won't spend all their money and courts that might overspend their money? Or is that not a process that we apply to this particular funding appropriation?
In budgets, please step in to add any additional detail, but I believe it just end of the fiscal year.
Okay, so there is no reallocation attempt made as we get close to the end of the year. Is that because courts typically spend all their money, or do we often return a bunch of money to the state general fund?
Is money usually returned, or I know you're relatively new to this. Have you seen that before?
Yeah. In previous years, there's been quite a bit. I don't know the exact reversion amounts for previous years. I can check really quickly.
But, that's okay if you don't have it at your fingertips, Marshall. I guess I just want to ask the question, does it make any sense? And maybe this is where we'd kick it over to Zlatko. Does it make any sense to do some kind of a mid-year look at these funds to, to see if there are courts that can use them?
Let's
Lock
step in, and then David Turner, go ahead.
Yeah, if we don't have a process, there must have been a reason why we didn't create one at the time. This committee would have reviewed the allocation methodology and any concepts to do any revision to that, but it's something definitely that folks can explore and work on. But for right now, there isn't a process, but that doesn't mean that again FMS and TICPAC can't have that be something that goes to the council in the spring. Just need to go and work on that process.
Well, I guess I would respectfully ask that maybe FMS take a look at this, look at what kind of, dollars have been reverting in previous years. As budgets get tighter, I hate to give back a single dime if we don't have to, if there's a way to use those dollars effectively.
Yeah, that's a good request. David Slayton, you got your hand up?
Sure. I'm happy for FMS to look at it, but just by the numbers, I wouldn't see how there would ever be a reversion, because if you compare the baseline to the average funding or even the 24-25 funding, I don't know if any court, certainly not very many courts, are spending less than what the proportional allocation is. So if you I don't think this money that's coming in, the $7 million, is covering the increased cost period. So I don't know how there would ever be a reversion. I'm just looking since it's my court, looking at my court's amounts here about how much we spend. And as you can see, you know, huge increase, and every other court could look at this too, huge increase from 2020, 2021 to 24, 25, you know, 2.2 million doesn't cover the increase. And I don't think that happens in basically any court. So love to get more information about it if there is reversion, how that's happening. But mm-hmm. it seems like that wouldn't happen because that money doesn't cover the increase nor the full amount. So seems like it would always be spent.
Yeah, David, you make
yeah, David, I'm just thinking that maybe in some instances, some of the smaller courts, you know, they're getting money based on a 3-year average. And if they have a year where they don't have, you know, felony jury trials or something, you know, that would draw down those dollars. It could be that it's not a lot of money. I mean, Marshall seems to indicate that there has been reversion in previous years. So just be interesting to kind of look at that, explore that a little more.
And so let's put it on the let's put it sort of parking lot it for FMS so they can monitor it. And then if it looks like there's going to be anything more than minimal or retention, we'll readdress it. That's a good suggestion. Any other discussion on this item? And if not, is there a motion to approve?
This is Turner. I'll move to approve.
Slayton, second.
Moved and approved that the recommendation at page 6 of the materials be approved. Is there any, now that's open, any further discussion? And hearing no discussion, is there any opposition to the motion to approve the recommendation? Hearing and seeing no opposition, as the chair, I'll deem the recommendation unanimously approved.
And Judge Conklin, thanks. we will get that actual expenditure data out to the committee as a supplemental piece of information.
Great. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. So with that, we now move to item 2 on the agenda, and that's final adjustments for the year-end fund balance. All of you are, I think most of you are familiar with this. So we do have a 3% statutory cap. The reduction is implemented to comply with that amount that courts are permitted to carry over to the fund balance. This is significantly impacted by the funds held on behalf of. So that's a very valuable asset that the courts have to allow them to make use of funds for lack of a better description, for ongoing projects. That goes through FPS, the Fiscal Planning Subcommittee. We've already addressed that. So now Oksana is going to present for us the actual one-time adjustments for 24-25 year-end fund balances for the trial courts. Oksana?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tag. I am a senior analyst with Budget Services, and I will be presenting on agenda item number 2. Beginning June 30th, 2019, Government Code Section 77203 allows trial courts to carry over unexpended funds in the amount not to exceed 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. This is known as the 3% cap, and the operating budget is defined as actual expenditures, including accruals and encumbrances. Statute requires that by January of each fiscal year, after review of available trial court reserves for the prior fiscal year, the Judicial Council shall finalize allocations to the trial courts. Each court's finalized allocation is offset by the amount of reserves in excess of the 3% cap. Trial courts submitted their final 3% computations with year-end information, and the calculation for the adjustment to the court's fund balance cap for fiscal year 24-25 is displayed in attachment 2A on page 12 of the materials. Column N represents the court's total final reduction in the amount of 20.6 million. Column O displays funds held on behalf requests that are pending before the Judicial Council approval at its December 12, 2025 business meeting. A total of 21 courts have submitted funds hold on behalf requests totaling 17.7 million for fiscal year 24-25. This funding will be retained in the trial court trust fund as a restricted fund balance, and courts will be reimbursed for actual expenditures for approved projects in their monthly distributions. Once approved by the Council, those requests will offset the final reduction of 20.6 million, resulting in net reduction of only 2.9 million. This reduction will be allocated to the trial courts in January 2026, distribution number 7. The recommendation before the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, as presented on page 11, is to approve the 3% fund balance cap reduction allocation of 20.6 million, consistent with the trial court final calculations of the amount above the 3% fund balance cap, which nets to 2.9 million after adjusting for 17.7 million in applicable funds held on behalf requests. The committee recommendation will be considered by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee and then by the Judicial Council at its December.
So she froze a little bit. She was
just. That concludes our presentation and questions, if you have any.
What she was saying is that this is going to, Oksana, you just froze for like 8 seconds. And I think what you were concluding, which was that this will be considered at the December council meeting.
Yes. Excellent. And so, Oksana, thanks so much. Typically very thorough. I appreciate that. And I'm pretty much parroting what Oksana just said, but I think the numbers to me are significant when you see that it was 20.5 million. And then when you factor in the funds held on behalf of it, brought it all the way down to 2.89 million. So I think that helps everybody appreciate how important an asset those funds held on behalf of are to the courts, because that's funds that otherwise would have to be reverted, but are appropriately retained for ongoing projects. So win-win. I think it exemplifies, at least in my humble perspective, how efficient the courts are when at the end of the day and the total budget we have of, if I read it correctly, of 105, we get all the way down to 2.8 million. So that's a very small amount of the money that we have left over. And I know I'm being a cheerleader, but I think it's for good reason to say to the courts, well done. With the funds that are allocated to you and the use of those funds. But now that we're there, any further discussion on the recommendation on page 11 to approve the year-end fund balance reduction of approximately $2.9 million? Are any issues or questions? Hearing none, seeing none, is there a motion to approve?
Judge Conklin, David Yamasaki approves recommendations detailed on page 11 of the materials.
Thank you. And is there a second?
Turner seconds.
All right. David Yamasaki first, Kim Turner second. It's been moved and approved. Any further discussion on the recommendation? Hearing and seeing none, as the chair, I will, let me now ask for the vote. Is there any opposition to the recommendation to approve? And hearing and seeing none, as the chair, I'll deem the recommendation page 11 unanimously approved. Oksana, thanks so much. I appreciate that. We're now going to move to our next two discussion items. And again, I remind everybody that Rose unexpectedly was unable to complete this. And Ms. Lira has jumped in with much appreciation. Not that she's not completely up to the task, but I would ask everybody to consider the fact that she's sort of the on-deck hitter who came in at the last minute, to use a baseball parlance. But with that, these are to approve work plans. So these are not to approve the actual outcome of the work plan, but and starting off with the funding methodology, this is an update to our work plan to consider the 25-26 work plan. This is to update at the council's request to add in the additional item to consider a revised methodology to address the unique challenges faced by the trial courts. FMS is already hard at work on this. It's in response to concerns raised by many parties, including the trial courts and other stakeholders, about the existing methodology for our funding and that it may no longer meet the needs of the program to support juvenile dependency proceedings. All we're doing today is adding this item to the work plan. We're not making any decisions on the final outcome, just the potential changes to the methodology will be scheduled for further discussion. And Maria, I hope I haven't stepped on your presentation. I'll turn it now to you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Maria Lira. I am a senior analyst with the Judicial Council's Budget Services. And this item is to consider an update to the Annual Funding Methodology Subcommittee Work Plan for Fiscal Year 25-26. On an annual basis, the Funding Methodology Subcommittee reevaluates the work plan to guide its efforts to develop and refine the workload formula, as well as other methodologies for approval by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. The current work plan, approved on July 2nd, 2025, is provided as Attachment 3A on page 15 of your materials. On September 2nd, 2025, the Judicial Council approved the fiscal year 25-26 allocations for court-appointed Judicial Dependency Council and also directed the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to add an additional item to its work plan to consider a revised methodology for this funding. During the budget development process for fiscal year 25-26, as Judge Conklin indicated, stakeholders raised concerns that the existing methodology may no longer address the realities of current juvenile dependency practice due to changes in federal and state law. Additionally, some trial courts raised concerns that the small court adjustment, which provides additional funding to similar courts to help them meet minimum staffing and service standards despite having fewer cases, should be revised to ensure it reflects current program needs. Therefore, a reevaluation of the existing methodology was recommended to improve outcomes in the dependency system. The proposed work plan is provided in Attachment 3B, with the additional item reflected as Item 6 on page 17 of your materials. That concludes my presentation. There's program staff on the call and happy to answer your questions.
Excellent. Well done. Thank you. So are there any questions or concerns about the recommendation of page 14 to add this as item 6 to the FMS work plan? And Judge Rogan, I see your hand up. Go ahead. You're muted.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. And I don't know who to pose this inquiry from. I'm just curious if there is any knowledge out there as to how the work of the FMS will collaborate, if at all, with the work of the newly established trial court workload funding working group, because both at first blush appear to be focusing on overlapping objectives. So I don't know if there's any direction out there.
Judge, if I might, this is related to that singular issue of juvenile dependency only,
okay,
not the broader issue. This was small court adjustment issue, the error that was made, and just broad issues that became sort of, brought to the committee's attention. So this is a narrow funding topic rather than the broader issue that the administrative director's work group is looking at.
Thank you, Zotko.
Sure.
But Judge Rogan, keep that thought. We'll, don't worry, we're...
Okay, thank you.
But, any other thoughts or concerns about the recommendation of page 14? And if not, is there a motion to approve?
Rogan.
Thank you. Second?
Speaker.
Moved and seconded. The recommendation set forth be approved. Now that it's moved and seconded for final discussion, any additional discussion or concern? Hearing and seeing none, calling for a vote. Any opposition to the recommendation set forth at page 14? And hearing and seeing none, I will deem that recommendation unanimously approved. You guys are doing great work. We're now moving to the final agenda item, and that is set forth at it's the annual agenda for the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. It's a significant item, but an item that we deal with every year. It's set forth at page 19 of your materials. This is to consider the committee's annual agenda for 2026, essentially the roadmap of what we intend to and hope to accomplish. It's our work plan. It summarizes our accomplishments for 25. There are many, this, as I said at the beginning, and we'll say again, this committee is to be congratulated, I think, and I don't think it's inappropriate to congratulate this committee for the work it's done. We especially the excellent work regarding the updates to the workload formula and the process of potential future budget reductions and restorations. So it's a multi-pronged, I guess is the best way to put it, issue about how we deal with reductions, and then if we get a reduction, and then later on, some of that funding is restored, how do we allocate, how do those tie together for allocations? And that work has really been vibrant and I think has accomplished quite a bit. So I won't pat myself on the back, but I sure will pat all of you on the back for the work you've done as we move forward on this. I'm going to turn it back. And I would note, so I just saw somebody, I want to keep our attendance consistent. Who else just joined? Or I guess we'll take a roll at the end.
Judge Jessner did join. Judge.
Great. So we'll show Judge Jessner is now with us as well. Thanks. And Maria, I'll turn it back to you to summarize this annual agenda item.
Sure. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Again, good afternoon. My name is Maria Lita, Senior Analyst with Judicial Council's Budget Services. For your consideration today is the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee's annual agenda for 2026. The charge of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee, also known as TCBAC, is to make recommendations to the Judicial Council on the preparation, development, and implementation of the budget for trial courts and provide input to the Council on policy issues affecting trial court funding. The annual agenda outlines the work this committee will focus on in the coming year and identifies areas of collaboration with other advisory bodies and Judicial Council staff resources. The 2026 draft annual agenda for your consideration today is provided as attachment 4B on page 32 of your materials. I'd like to briefly highlight a few items on the draft agenda. First, the workload formula equity-based reallocation policy updates. It's a new addition to the agenda. This project originated from a new item added to the approved funding methodology subcommittee's annual work plan for 25-26. The project is to clarify certain aspects of how the equity-based reallocation policy is interpreted and applied. The clarification will improve transparency in budget planning and funding adjustment. The equity-based reallocation policy was implemented for the first time in fiscal year 25-26. Other new items include a reallocation methodology for the pre-trial release program, a revised allocation methodology for court-appointed juvenile dependency counsel that is intended to improve outcomes in the dependency system, recommendations from the Shriver Civil Counsel Act Implementation Committee for the fiscal years 2026 to 2029 grant cycle, and evaluation of the trial court minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy. This committee will consider recommendations to determine the impact of the existing $5 million state-level emergency reserve and 3% fund balance cap to potentially repeal the policy before the June 30th, 2026 suspension expires. Moving on to the ongoing projects section, that is page 39 of your materials. There's the in alignment with TCBAC's charge. First, on the funding adjustments for annual governor's budget, mayor revision, and enacted budget. This committee makes recommendations to the Judicial Council for funding adjustments and will address funding proposals that impact the trial courts in collaboration with the Judicial Council offices, other advisory committees, and stakeholders to implement budget proposals as needed. On the workload formula policy allocations to the trial courts, this committee will continue to make recommendations to the Council regarding the annual allocations to the trial courts, as well as the preparation, development, and implementation of the budget and provide input on policy issues that affect the trial court funding. Lastly, the workload formula adjustment request process is retained on the agenda. This allows trial courts an annual opportunity to submit recommendations for changes to the workload formula, and this item resides, on the annual funding methodology subcommittee work plan. In January 2025, two requests were received, and because it was determined that the proposals could impact the resource assessment study, or RAS, they were referred to the Data Analytics Advisory Committee for review. That committee will meet on November 4th, 2025 to continue its evaluation of the request and will report to TCBAC with its findings and recommendations. Finally, I'd like to highlight a few of the project accomplishments for 2025. The TCBAC and Judicial Branch Budget Committee made fiscal year 25-26 recommendations to the Judicial Council that included allocations of $46.6 million from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund and $3.1 billion from the Trial Court Trust Fund to support trial court programs and operations. Judge Conklin touched on this accomplishment. And at the risk of being repetitive, I would also like to highlight that TICBAC and the Judicial Branch Budget Committee made a recommendation to the Judicial Council to partially restore $42 million of the $97 million reduction for trial court operations included in the Budget Act of 2024. The Judicial Council approved methodology allocated the revised $55 million ongoing reduction to the trial courts. Also, Judge Conklin highlighted this accomplishment in his introduction. However, I would like to add that in July 2025, the Judicial Council approved a recommendation from the TICBAC to update the workload formula policy to include allocation methodologies to address future budget situations, including budget reductions, funding restorations in the same fiscal year, and funding restoration that occurs in a future fiscal year. Specific methodologies and policy increases transparency and allows courts to plan for changes in funding levels. That concludes my presentation. The draft 2026 annual agenda will be considered by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee at its meeting on November 13, 2025. And we're happy to answer any questions that the committee may have at this time.
Maria, thanks so much. So great presentation, and I really appreciate the work that went into preparing the agenda. It's very thorough. You know, I don't know if Judge Bowen is new to this. Jake's been with us. Ms. Beaker's been with us. So everybody's familiar with the hard work that we do, and it's ongoing. And it's another year, another challenging year ahead, which I think brings this committee to its strength. Rebecca and I have been doing this, and David was gracious enough at the beginning to mention some acknowledgement that we're getting. But we sort of, as we discussed that, made mention of the fact that is a reflection of the work that you all do. And I hope I'm not inappropriate in saying this, but really the work that this committee does is year after year after year, continuously amazed at the challenges that you face and the accomplishments that we do on behalf of that. So I guess I'm in a rah-rah mood. I hope that cheerleading mood continues into tonight, David Slayton and others. I'm trying to remain optimistic. But turning back to the work of this committee, this is an ambitious work plan, and I have absolute confidence that we're going to complete it. But now that I've said that, any comments, concerns, or others about the approval of the annual work plan? Jake Chatters, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Judge. I have one question, and it may be just because I'm new coming back to the committee, but on page 20, listed as page 28, but I think it's page 29 of the PDF, the CARE Act project. So I'm not sure if it was no longer intended to happen going forward or if this was just not updated for the new fiscal year yet, which is possible. But at the very end, it says a methodology to reallocate unspent funding during the fiscal year. It says 24-25 will be considered. So I just wasn't sure whether the expectation was that was also going to occur in 25-26 and it just hadn't been updated yet, or whether that sentence should come out because mid-year reallocations were not expected to occur any longer.
I see where you are. You're at page 28 of 43 of our materials, that very last sentence.
Yeah.
So that's a good question. Zlatko, any thoughts, or Rebecca or Chad?
I may be mistaken, but I believe that sentence may have referred to the implementation and the initial cohorts that were going live at the time. And I believe we discussed at the time redistributions as we were getting established, but I may be mistaken on that, but I'll turn it over to Zlatko on that. But that was my recollection. So it may be that that drops, or we just look at it as an annual effort just to make sure that we have everything covered.
I guess Zlatko thinks about that, because I see him trying to read. I think I would, based on the way the allocation functions and how courts are adding resources to address care court, I think unless it was we really there had been a decision previously to say it was going to be annual. I would suggest taking it out because of the way that I think courts are creating positions to address care court petitions that may be coming in. I think a mid-year could be problematic. You know, court maybe they had a vacancy and then you're trying to, I don't know the courts could respond well enough based on the nature of the work, but I just didn't want to, if it was already there to go on, go, you know, I didn't want to disrupt that, but if not,
No,
then I just.
that's a good point, Jake. And thank you for raising it. It might not have been something that we thought about from a very detailed operational perspective, as you just described. And I think that the intention would have been to look at it on an annual basis. But that's why we had this conversation, is that this work plan is a subject of discussion for the group. And so if there for reasons that make sense to not pursue it again for 25, 26, then an amendment to the plan could be made.
What if we just said, if necessary? So a methodology to reallocate the unspent will be considered if necessary.
Yeah, for 25, 26. Since that was last year, and we're now in the 25, 26 fiscal year. Yeah, and then we can
Okay.
work with our friends in CFCC. And bring this input to them about the need for that.
So when I'm trying to remain technically accurate. So if we approve this work plan with that language stay, and we then look back to modify it, or
No, we could modify it now.
okay, so just take it
Like,
out.
so if whoever makes a motion, we can say we can adjust the references to the 25 year. In the last same methodology to reallocate unspent funding during the 25-26 figure will be considered.
Necessary.
Okay, Jane, does that satisfy
Necessary.
your concern?
Yeah, it's fine. Like I wasn't trying to make a change, just was saying if
Oh,
it
no, but
wasn't intended,
no,
take
you're
it
right.
out. If it was intended, then update the
I
and
think
if there
that's
is a
a
methodology
good
that
point.
would
Sorry,
allow
Jay, go
us,
ahead.
yeah. If there isn't a methodology yet, because this is saying considering one, that makes sense to me. Because then the discussion around, you know, whether to allocate, how to reallocate, if necessary, comes later. So yeah, that's fine. If the view just updates.
Okay, so I just want to make sure whoever's finalizing this, so it will read a methodology to reallocate unspent funding during fiscal year 25-26 will be considered.
As necessary.
Right, as necessary. Okay. All right, Jake, thanks for clarifying that. Any other thoughts, concerns, or and if not, is there a motion to approve the recommendation as set forth in your materials?
Would move with the changes recommended.
Kellen Carrion, second.
Moved and seconded. Now that it's open for final discussion, any further discussion? And with no further discussion, is there any opposition to the motion as modified with that additional language? Hearing and seeing no opposition, I'll deem the recommendation with that slight modification, page 20 of the materials approved. With everybody's thanks. Anything else for the good of the order? Lyra, I know I'm sort of putting you on the spot. I don't mean to, but our next meeting, I think, is. Do you have the date of that?
I do not have the
Okay,
date.
not a problem. We'll get that out to everybody.
We don't
Just the.
currently have any tick back meetings scheduled to the rest of this calendar year.
That's why my notes say we'll get back to you on that. I didn't read that. Sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, we're developing that schedule, folks.
We're working on that. The polls
Also, I
yeah,
remind
go ahead,
everybody
Judge.
that we've got that liaison step coming ahead, where each of us as a committee member will liaison with usually typically two, maybe three trial courts to get their concerns about statewide information and budget development cycles. So we'll get back to everybody on that for the work ahead.
Yeah, and we developed an online tool that I think was very helpful for everybody to input the responses that they received from the courts in preparing for budget priorities for the 27-28 fiscal year, which is hard to say because I'd have thought I'd been floating around in a Jetson kind of vehicle at this point, but here we are already looking for that year. So, and we appreciate the work that you'll do. And if you have troubles reaching the PJ and the CO, let us know. We can also leverage the leadership of Judge Conklin and Rebecca to get folks' attention, because it is important that we hear from everyone. That really is the foundation for our collaborative approach, to make sure that every court is voice is heard as part of the priority for budget preparation happens through the spring.
And every year we refine this, and at least as I saw it last year, the refinements were very effective, especially working out the new methodology we have for everybody to sort of send their input in. Vic's going to work, continue to work well. So
Yeah.
with that, I hope nobody's disappointed by the fact that we're adjourning about 49, four, whatever. I shouldn't do math. 45 minutes early. Appreciate everybody's time and consideration of all these issues. Anything else I've left out?
Zlatko is always here to add. Think about one more thing. So now that we had, we would likely have two judicial officers joining us in January, as there were two vacant positions, and we
Out of
did
cycle,
receive
yep.
some applications for them. So that's partly why we're going to defer some of the educational efforts to when the new members come, but we expect that to happen before the end of the year.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody so much. I'm actually joining you from the administrative offices in Sacramento. It's a busy place. So, but they set me up with an office and everything. So maybe I'll just stay here. But anyways, thanks everybody very much to
Thanks,
existing
Judge.
members and new members. We will all talk soon. And I just can't help myself, and I hope I'm not cursing it, but go Dodgers. So I hope I don't regret
Bye.
saying that.
No.
All right, see you guys. Bye-bye.
Everybody.